This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa salama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. أفمن كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النور إذا دخل الصدر انفتح سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. There are two types of actions that human beings do, that any of us do. One are considered to be the pious actions and the good actions, and the other ones are considered to be the evil actions or the bad actions. I mean, that's basically every act that we do is either going to be a good or a bad one. And there's no other, you know, possibility. I mean, even the neutral actions become good or bad based on our intentions. Subhanallah. Now, the thing is that if we do anything according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they also become part of our a'mal saliha, our righteous actions and our pious actions. And then anything that is opposed to that, anything that is of frivolous nature, then that becomes a bad action sometimes. Now the thing is that the reason why this is so important to understand is because of a number of reasons. The primary reason being that every action that we do in this world has an effect on us. Right? It's who we are. Because we're not doing that action in a vacuum. It has an effect on the way we feel. That's why we actually obviously do the action in the first place. And that's why it's led us to do that action, because of the way we feel. So everything that we do generally has an indication of our thought process, our mentality, our psychology, our outlook in life, our ambitions, our goals. We're very complex human beings, and everything about us is interlinked, right? I mean, even the foolish person, when they do a weird act, then although we understand that they've got maybe a problem or something, but at the end of the day, it still indicates their state, right, of being foolish. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned on one occasion, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led a salat, and then one of the sahaba who had taken part in the salat had some defect with his wudu. There was some shortcoming in his wudu. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed his salat, he said, who is it because of whose wudu and whose salat, essentially our salat was affected negatively? Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his state could understand this, and he could feel this, and he could sense this. But the most important thing here is that the muhaddithin mentioned that even due to shortcoming in a person's wudu, it affected the jama'ah as a whole. So that tells us that when we make jama'ah together, when we do things even as a congregation, what every person is feeling there, is what every person is doing there or has done there, it's going to have an effect. At some level, it's going to contribute to the overall feeling and benefit or nuqsan and detriment of the whole community or of the whole congregation. Subhanallah, right? So that's why the more pious and righteous people you have, and the more awliya that you have among you, and the more good people that you have among you, there's going to be a greater effect about these things. If one person's wudu can affect the salat like that, then obviously you can understand that there's going to be an effect and influence of different things on our community and our household. So even one person doing something good in the house, whether that be one of the children who's gained hidayah and guidance, or whether it be just the mother or just the father, eventually there's going to be a benefit. As long as they do it properly, there's going to be a benefit to all of their surroundings, and it's going to be benefit for all the people around. The barakah is going to be there. On the other hand, we also know from a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every time a person commits a sin, a black dot appears on the heart. I mean, most of us should know this hadith. When we make tawbah, that black dot disappears. And if you don't make tawbah, then the black dot remains there. Then when you do another sin, another dot appears, and so on, and it accumulates like that. In fact, it gets to a stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, كَلَّا بَلْ ran ala qulubihim, that it's caused ran comes from rain, which means it's essentially become rusty. So Imagine something that has become rusty. Obviously, it shows that it's been neglected to such a degree. You know, on cars sometimes, if it's had a massive scratch or something like that, and you leave it, you don't treat it, eventually with the water and everything, it will keep corroding it and affecting it until it becomes totally yellowish. And that's, you know, the reaction of the metals, and it creates that. Then obviously it can be cured, but it has to be treated then properly. So likewise with the heart, you've got the same kind of situation, that if you've left it for such a long time, that it's become neglected to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that this is what's happened to their heart. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about iman and kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one thing which we should all be extremely proud of. Because what it is that if anybody in this world that is considered to be a respected individual or a superstar of some sort, or for example, somebody that's well known and in a high position, and if they were to say, like if they were to say to you that you are my friend, right? So the initiation is taking place from their side. They are saying that you are my friend. One is that people in that kind of situation, they'll say, oh, those are all my supporters or all my friends. But he or she is not reciprocating that, right? He or she is not reciprocating that by saying that I'm also their friend. But what about when some really high level person first makes this statement and starts it from their side, initiates from their side that you are my friend? Imagine how good you will feel. So look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. He is our absolute master creator that we owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is what he says. He says, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. He says, Allah is the wali of those people who believe. What does wali mean? Wali means friend, associate, intimate accomplice, right? It means a very, very close friend, somebody who will take care of you. That's what you call a wali, somebody who will take care of you, a guardian, right? Absolute guardian and fully responsible for you. So Allah is saying, Allah is the friend of those who believe. Now, what an announcement that is. What an announcement that is. Now, if we're to turn around and say, we don't care, right? Then how much of a detriment and deprivation is that? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's doing the initiation by saying that Allah is the wali of those who believe, then we on our side need to make good with that and say, yes, we are also yours, because he's already made that declaration. Now we have to make our declaration, and it can't be empty declarations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created two types of people, as he says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, he is the one who created you, فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ, right? And among you, there are those who are disbelievers, and وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ, and there are those among you who are believers. So you've got disbelievers and you've got believers. So you've got two types of people in this world. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also describes the acts of both of these people, you know, what it brings. People who have belief and they do good acts, it's a source of nur and light. And those who aren't believers in God and believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran at the end of the surah An-Nur, the verses of Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ, or it's like darknesses, not darkness, but darknesses. And then just in case people didn't understand what darknesses meant, Allah says, كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ. You've got this very tumultuous ocean in which the waves are upon other waves. So you've got like double sets of waves, right, overcoming this. So you can imagine the darkness with all of these waves thrashing over you, and then above that is the sahab, above that are these heavy clouds. So you can imagine what kind of darkness is being spoken about here. And then just in case people didn't understand that metaphor properly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. That this is such a darkness, it's darkness upon darkness, that if a person stretches out their hand, they won't they probably won't even see their own hands. Now, the hands are so close to you, and once you get used to the darkness, sometimes you can actually make out your own hands. But this is such a darkness that you can't even make out your own hands. This is the metaphor that is being struck to explain the actions of the people who don't believe in the Supreme Being, right? In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِن نُورٍ. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed no nur for, they will have no nur. So we are essential, it's essential for us to try to strive for this nur, because Allah has already given us, some level of ni'mah by giving us the by giving us iman and by giving us oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why one of the ulama, he mentions that if a person is in a very bad state, if a person is in an extremely bad state of not being able to do good deeds, you know, always disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they want to change, then you still, he says that you've got two ways to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that you think of Allah's ni'mah on you, which is that you still have belief, you still have oneness of Allah in mind. That's your belief, you love that belief, you wouldn't want it to be taken away from you, but you can't do anything good. So now turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, you've given me iman and you've also given me this good, you've given me tawheed, you know, belief in the oneness of Allah, belief in your oneness. So now, I want you to, I am thankful for this much ni'mah and I want you to give me more ni'mah, right? And you just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this state of absolute need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Now, the one thing that what we have to realize from the verse, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he is creating an association between himself and and ourselves by saying Allah is your friend. Allah is your guardian and your intimate associate, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. So essentially he is providing a nisbah, an association, a link, right, between us and himself. And he's initiating that. And that's why anybody who then becomes associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to those who disbelieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُهُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He will take them out of these darknesses into the nur and the light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk. This is a book that we have revealed to you. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. To take the people out. So this book is there to take the people out of the darkness into the light. That's the whole purpose, into the light of iman and the light of Jannah and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can be in Jannah in the hereafter. It's mentioned that the great scholar of the subcontinent, whose name was Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi, they call him the Mujaddid, the reviver of the second centenary, he was once called quickly, urgently by a friend of his, by somebody, that, you know, by an associate of his, who had a friend who was on his deathbed, and he wasn't able to say the kalima. So this friend of the person who was dying, he called Sheikh Mujaddid Al-Thani, Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi. He said, can you come and please, you know, can read something and maybe this person will say the kalima. So he went there, Sheikh Mujaddid went there, and for such a long time he's trying to do everything that he can, but this person's heart is just not accepting any kind of change. He just refuses to read. He just totally refuses to read. So eventually what the outcome was, that this person had very close associates. Most of his association was with disbelief and people who disbelieved, and he had no association with believers and so on as much, right? It was very weak. And that's why he's being deprived, because his heart had become inclined in that direction. His heart, even though he was professing to be a believer, even though he may have had a believing name, but his everything, his love, his affection, his emotion, and his entire inclination was towards that side. And that's why he's being deprived by the kalima on his deathbed. So you see, the nisbat and the association that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had offered for him as well and declared for him, he had rejected it and not done good with it, and that's why this is coming about. This is the problem with corruption of beliefs. This is the problem of corruption of our ideology. When we start to love things of this world and things of disbelief of this world, then of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let us take one final example here. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was, the story is famous of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was made in charge of the grain and all of the sustenance of the land to distribute the supplies of the land. He became that minister. What happened is, one particular youth came to him, and he gave him, as you know, the allotted share that he would give to everybody. He gave that much to that person as well. And then afterwards, the person said something to him. So somebody was observing this. You know, people around were observing this. So this person then said something to him, and Yusuf alayhi salam like broke out in a smile and gave him some more. Right? He gave him some more. So later, somebody asked him that, what happened here? Actually, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who asked him. He said, why did you give this person more after whatever he said? So he said, oh my Lord, initially I gave him the allotted share that I give to everybody. But then when he told me that he was that young infant, he was that infant who had declared my purity and my chastity when I had that problem with the wife of the Aziz of Misr, of Egypt, when, you know, she tried to seduce me and I was going to be in big trouble, and this infant spoke about how to determine whether I was to blame or whether she was to blame. He came and told me that he is that child, right? So now he's obviously grown up. So then I got so happy that he'd helped me to purify myself and to safeguard my chastity, that I gave him as much as I could give him, you know, through my share that I was able to give him. Now, this is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a prophet of Allah, who's got this mercy upon somebody who's helped him out in the past, right? Who's assisted him in the past, who's essentially declared his chastity. That's what this infant did. So Yusuf alayhi salam does whatever is in his power to make him happy by giving him these extra supplies. Now, can you imagine that us being the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are constantly declaring his rububiyyah. We're constantly declaring that he is our guardian, he is our Lord, he is our caretaker, he is our creator, he is the only deity worthy of worship, he is the direction of our worship. Then on the day of judgment, you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to deprive us on that day? If Yusuf alayhi salam won't deprive that child that said this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that said this to him, he tried to give him as much as he could. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has infinite bounties and mercies at his disposal. That's why he gave, you know, that's why he gave him whatever he could give him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ultimate supply at his disposal. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody declares that this is what I used to believe in, right, and I used to call you my Lord, then, and I used to worship you, then you can imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be thinking and giving him at that time. There's another story that's related about a person whose wife did something really bad. Right, she did something really bad. Now, he had obviously the ability to divorce her. Now, she's asking for forgiveness. He had the ability to divorce her or to get really angry, to do something. But he just forgave her purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that, okay, she's, you know, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I forgive her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. So in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him because of that. Because he was merciful to another creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy with him as well. And one final thing, just about the link aspect. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing this association and this link to us, now imagine it, you've got a bag of cement that is being sold in one of these hardware supply stores. One company comes and buys some, another company comes and buys some, right? It's the same type of cement or stone or brick, right, made by the same manufacturer, costing the same amount of money. One company comes and buys it, and they're building a masjid, so it's going to now go into the wall of a masjid, and so on, right? The other one, it's going to be used in some toilet somewhere, to build some toilets. Now, can you imagine that it's the same kind of brick, but now one brick, people are going to be praying there, etc., and the other one, it's a place for relieving oneself. Can you understand how one has been honored and one has been demoted in a sense? Right? Although this is just an example, but this is the same thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us. He's told us that, look, I'm making my association with you. Now if we don't associate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do enough from ourselves and just live a long life of sins that create dhulumat and darknesses and oppress ourselves. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Adhulmu dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah," oppression is a source of darknesses on the Day of Judgment. Then what are we doing to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us, and we are not reciprocating, we're not giving back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq for us to realize this nisbah and this association, this attribution to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His servants, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised so much to. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deprive us of that association. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.